Hi and welcome to episode 17 of the Body Mechanic Podcast with Rob Arnold from Chrysalis Fitness Training. Well, is all weight equal? That's the question we're going to ask ourselves and hopefully get answered today. Rob, is all weight equal?
No.
So it's not just about the number on the scale, is it?
No. So it's all about your body composition. So people are made up of lots of different things. Fluids, bone, muscle, fats. And people get obsessed with this thing that muscle is heavier than fat. It's not, it's denser. So if you've got a kilogram of fat and a kilogram of muscle, it's both still a kilogram. But what you'll find is that the actual size of the muscle would be smaller to the amount of fat, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, yeah.
And by looking at that, and along with other things like bone density, so if your bones are denser, they're going to be heavier as well.
Yeah.
That makes up a different kind of picture of your weight.
Okay, right. So let's talk about me. I need to lose weight. There's no doubt about that at all. So how, why, and from where? How do we find all those things out?
There's lots of people have got them in the bathroom, but you can get body composition scales. You can see someone like me, we can use calipers to measure certain sites on the body and work out body fat percentage. And that's the thing to focus on more than weight, is your body fat percentage. So depending on what percentage of fat you are, depends on your risk of health problems and also how you're going to be able to move and how your brain affects function there as well.
I mean, one of the things that we talked about in the past, and one of the things that a lot of people talk about is, you know, if you're a England front row rugby player, officially you're morbidly obese, aren't you? But it's not about how much they weigh.
Yeah, so people check out the BMI as well. And for those who don't know, BMI is body mass index. But the thing is, that was created by an American life insurance company for use on their policies.
It's a formula they put together to put the premiums together, I see.
Yeah. So, and it's all based on weight. So the problem with that is, like you say, you've got professional athletes like rugby players, like heavyweight boxers, power lifters. When you look at them compete, you look at them as thinking they're healthy individuals, which they are. But according to BMI, they are morbidly obese.
I've got written down here in my notes, dangerous weight and healthy weight. Now, that is a thing, isn't it?
Are you alluding to fat?
The way I look at it is that surely fat is a dangerous weight and muscle is a healthy weight, because we've talked about the fact that they weigh a kilogram of muscle and a kilogram of fat are the same thing. It's the size that's different.
So with fat, you've got subcutaneous fat, which is the fat that you see beneath the skin. So when you look at someone and you think they're bigger, that's subcutaneous fat. And then you've also got a thing called visceral fat. And visceral fat is the fat that covers your internal organs. Everyone has it, but it depends on the amount of it you've got. So with that fat, the more of it you've got, the more it's going to start to strangle your internal organs as well and affect their function. So you might have someone that looks bigger and they've got a lot more subcutaneous fat and someone who's a lot thinner. But if they've got more visceral fat, they're probably a lot more unhealthy.
And that's the fat that settles around your heart and around your kidneys and various organs in your body.
Yeah.
Which means they don't work properly, basically. Okay, so let's then look at healthy weight. What would you term healthy weight as?
So you said about muscle. Body fat percentage-wise, when you're looking at a body fat percentage and an ideal percentage, it all depends on your age and your gender as well. So for women, I haven't got any figures for below 20 because people are still developing. But for women that are aged 20 to 40 years, so it's quite a large spectrum of time there. Healthy range of body fat percentage is 21 to 33%. Now, when you put that across to men, so if you're aged 20 to 40 and you're a man, you're looking at a healthy range of between 8 to 19% body fat. So you say it's quite a bit different to women. And it's because of the way that the different genders are made up, because biologically they've got different jobs to do.
So basically, you know, it depends on your age and your gender, but there is an ideal body fat range.
Yeah.
That means that you're within that range, you're relatively healthy. Looking at this, something you talked to me about earlier on about weight and general body health, it's about a mixture of movement and nutrition. So it's the energy that you're expending and the energy that you're putting in.
Yeah, so people get caught up on like calories in, calories out, but not all calories are equal. It depends on what you're eating. And protein and carbohydrates, they've got a certain amount of calories, which are very similar. And then you've got fats, which have got more calories in them. And when you look at it, it's actually kilocalories. So it's like 1,000 calories per gram. And then you've got alcohol. And alcohol has not quite as many calories as fat. But with the calories in alcohol, you can't use them. So you'll drink. And then what your body will do is convert it and turn that into fat, and you'll store it. It's similar with carbohydrates as well. So with proteins, you'll eat so much and your body can't store it. So then you'll get full. But with carbohydrates and sugars, you can eat so much, but you won't get full. So it means you can eat more than you actually need and more than you can actually store. So what happens is within your liver and your muscles, you'll store a thing called glycogen. And it's just the way that carbohydrates are broken down so you can store it. Once you've reached the maximum amount of storage for that, it'll start to convert it into fat. And then you'll store that as fat as well. And then when we look at movement, it depends on how you move as well and what you do. So any movement is going to help to expel energy. And all that energy is from the carbohydrates that you've got in your muscles and from the fat stores you've got.
So what we're looking at really is if you're looking to reduce your bad weight, for the want of a better word, your unhealthy weight, it is about balancing the movement and the nutrients. One of the things you talked to me about was muscle burning fat, basically.
Yeah, so the more muscle you have, then the more calories you need to burn to sustain that muscle. So even passively, like when you're in bed, you're still burning calories.
And the more muscle you have, the more calories you're going to be burning, so the more fat you'll be burning.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you look at bodybuilders, they have quite a lot of muscle. I mean, they do go through quite an extreme process to get looking how they do. But because of the amount of muscle they have, does help to slim down that fat percentage to where they want it to be.
So really, it's almost like the gift that keeps giving muscle.
Yeah.
It gives you a more defined outline, but it also helps you keep the fat levels lower in your body if you've developed quite a bit of muscle. But you don't have to be a bodybuilder, do you?
No. I mean, people might say, look at powerlifters and strongmen, they're massive. They are big, but then also they've got a lot of muscle and a lot of muscle strength in there to carry the weight as well, to carry that fat weight. The more fat you have compared to your muscle, that's going to put more strain on your joints, on your internal organs, because it's going to start to suffocate everything. You might know people yourself that are bigger or might be classed as morbidly obese and they have breathing difficulties. Not saying like they struggle to breathe all the time, but sometimes they'll struggle to breathe or they take labored breaths. And it's because they're trying to lift all that weight with their lungs. Whereas when you've got the muscle, that's there to perform a job, and the job is to move bone.
So the simple equation on this, really, it's about eating the right things and moving more.
Yes.
That's the simple equation that we're looking at to try and create a relatively healthy body.
Yeah. When we look at the movement as well, with what I do, it's very, very involved with the brain and the neurological aspect. The thing about that is when you start to move in different ways that's new to the brain, start to create new neural pathways, it's quite metabolic. So what I mean by that is it takes a lot of energy. And I work with some people that have certain conditions. By the end of the session, they're really tired. And it's because they're expending so much energy. That energy has to come from somewhere. And where that comes from is from your body's fuel reserves. So from your glycogen and fat. Because we're moving slowly, it's more likely to come from the fat. Because the process to burn fat, it's a lot more complex than it is to burn carbohydrates and glycogen. And that's why we prefer to use carbohydrates for long distance sports, things like that. It's because it's easy to get that fuel in and the body can process it. Whereas the best fuel source, but it's more complicated for the body, is fat.
Right. Okay. So I mean, fat is really stored energy, isn't it? And if you're not exercising enough and you're eating a bit too much, then it will create lots of stored energy because you're just not using it up.
Yeah.
Looking at it in a very layman's way, I describe that as. Okay, so you're talking about the brain and the neural patterns. this is all affected, isn't it? This, all these kind of things affects the brain and how it works.
Yeah, so your brain is mainly made up of fat. I think we've spoken about omega-3s in the past and the way different types of fat work. So when you've got liquid fat, so liquid at room temperature compared to solid fat, you're normally looking at unsaturated fat compared to saturated fat. So you've got to think, there's a thing called the blood-brain barrier. And so you'll absorb stuff into your brain through blood. So you've got to think of the type of fat you're eating as well. So if it's solid, that's what you're absorbing into your brain to make your brain up. And what we want is the brain to be, we spoke about it in a podcast quite a while ago now about neuroplasticity. If it's made up of fat that is normally a solid at room temperature, it's a lot more difficult for things to move around in there.
So when we say fats that are solid at room temperature, do we mean, you know, butters and things like that? Or are you talking about more nuanced type fats?
There's a thing called trans fats, which they're really not healthy for the body.
So when we talk about trans fats, what sort of things, you know, what is a trans fat?
So they're kind of like a synthetic fat.
A non-natural product, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What that does, because it's not real, it's real in, it exists, but it's not real as in real to your body. So that would affect function. With the movement and the way you move around, we said about balance between movement and nutrition and also getting the brain to work, because that's going to help to burn. It's going to help to be quite metabolic. So when you look at something as simple as a bench press, it's quite a linear movement and it's quite easy for the brain to get a hold of and work out, and it becomes an easy movement, and that makes the brain lazy. If the brain's lazy and doesn't need to put any effort in, it's not going to be as metabolic. So we need to look at doing movements that are going to move you around a little bit more and get the brain thinking. So it might be a matter that you go a little bit slower. And I do this with some clients where they're struggling to walk and we get them to slow down or struggling to move a hand or something. But also you can do it in an exercise, pumping out loads of press-ups as fast as you can. Try just slowing it down. And there's a thing called super slow. So try and take 10 seconds to do one press-up. You'll find it a lot more difficult because you're trying to control the movement. There's an eccentric contraction in there, so the muscles lengthening, but also working when you lower yourself down. And that gives you more bang for your buck, strength-wise, and it breaks more muscle fibers. By breaking muscle fibers, they have to rebuild, and when it rebuilds, that's how you get bigger and how you get stronger.
I've heard of this before, this really slow press-up thing, where someone takes a long time to do one press-up. And the muscle is under tension for much, much longer, isn't it?
Yeah.
And as you say, the other muscles that are stretching the other way also are under tension for a long, long time as well.
Yeah, and it's called time under tension. But also, we think about a bench press and it's a linear movement, and we think about doing a press-up. If you do a press-up and take one foot off the floor, that affects your balance, so you bring something else into play.
So it's making your brain work harder,
yeah,
to do the movement.
Yeah, and we spoke about neuroplasticity in the past. So if you take your hands out into different positions, or even do something as simple as a crawling movement, because it might be simple, but movement-wise, it brings in a little bit of coordination and becomes a complex movement. By doing a crawl, you're also doing press-ups at the same time, but slightly differently.
I remember we talked about this before, and I thought, crawling? What does he mean by that? But when you explain it, that it's, you're using a lot of your limb muscles to do that, which you wouldn't normally use in an exercise. It's almost like a full body workout, a crawl, because you're using your core muscles, your arms and your legs and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, your brain is working overtime as well.
Yeah, and by getting your brain working, that helps the rest of the body as well, because everything comes from your brain.
So does your brain need exercise in a similar way that you know, your muscles would need exercise?
Exactly. So by doing these different types of movements, that is going to help to exercise the brain. And it also helps to reduce certain hormones, which are the feel-good hormones. And the other problem about nutrition and taking in the wrong nutrition is one of those feel-good hormones is serotonin. That is stored in the bowel. Anyone who's listening that's maybe had some stomach problems, bowel problems, some people with IBS, you can be more prone to depression because the way that the serotonin is released. And then we can also look at type 2 diabetes. So type 1 diabetes, that's an autoimmune disease. People get that. Unfortunately, that's their lot. And what that is an insulin deficiency. type 2 diabetes is insulin resistance. You become more resistant to the insulin that you produce. But it's also reversible. It's reversible by nutrition and movement, funnily enough. You can find that you can have someone that doesn't have diabetes that is unfit, and they're more at risk of something to cause them to be seriously ill or die than someone that has diabetes and is fit.
I've seen this before on the television and in my personal life with people I know, where they have lost weight and they've increased their exercise and they've virtually eliminated the type 2 diabetes from their lives. You can reverse that process, can't you?
Yeah, like I say, it's an insulin resistance. It's just that you're taking on that much sugar that your body produces that much insulin that eventually you get used to it. It's like a drug, really. The more you take, the more you need. But you'll get to a point where you can't produce that much. And that's why people got medication to help monitor it. But by looking at what you're eating, being conscious about how you're moving, and it all comes back to building muscle. And it doesn't mean that you've got to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger. It depends on your age and your gender as well, on how much muscle you can make. So I've worked with people in the past and females, and they've said, oh, I don't want to get all muscly and big. For a lady, you've got to work really, really hard to get massive. And there's female bodybuilders, and they work really hard to get where they are. But by producing a little bit of muscle will help. The other thing is, by doing resistance exercise, you can also look at running and walking as a resistance exercise because it's weight-bearing, because it's still bearing your weight. That increases your bone density. And by increasing your bone density, you're at less risk of things like osteoporosis and breaks. And when you're older, by doing these things and moving in certain ways, you're at less risk of falls as well.
Okay. I mean, we're sort of coming to the end of this now. And I think what we've established, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, is that a healthy body means a healthy brain.
Yes.
It is about your nutrition and your movement. So creating some muscle is better than having none at all, yeah, or not adding any on, should I say.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be a bodybuilder or a heavyweight boxer or an England front row rugby player to create this muscle that will help burn the fats in your body.
Yeah, you're completely correct there, Mark.
So it's about the balance. Like all these things in life, it's about balance. And this will help your brain and all the other things that make you up being you.
Yes.
Is there one little takeaway? I think we've probably done the takeaway, haven't we? It's about...
We don't want to do takeaways. I think the one takeaway is... So I mentioned about serotonin in the gut, and the more you look after your nutrition and your movement, that's going to affect your gut. And essentially, overall, it's going to affect how you feel, and it's going to make you happier.
Happy tummy, happy life.
Yeah.
Okay then, Rob, if people want to know more about all this or want to ask you any questions about health and fitness, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
You can find me on Facebook with Chrysalis Fitness Training, or you can WhatsApp 07824 880311, or you can email, it's rob@chrysalis-fitness.com, Chrysalis spelled CHRYSALIS, or you can go on the website and there's a contact page on there. It's www.chrysalis-fitness.com.
So you can get in touch with Rob all those different ways. I'm not too sure what we'll be talking about. I think we'll probably be looking at Rob's exercise regime for the rather big stuff he's got lined up in the summer. So just quickly tell us what you're going to be doing in the summer, and then we'll talk about your regime in the next episode.
Yeah, so if you're just joining us and you haven't listened to the previous episode, in the summer I've got 2 100-mile races. I say race. I'm not competing to win. One's in the Brecon Beacons, one's in Snowdonia. So you've got the end of July and then mid-September. And I'm doing it to raise money for Hope House Children's Hospices based around Shropshire and Wales, and for West Mercia Search and Rescue.
And I've had contact with Andy Neal from West Mercia Search and Rescue, and we're going to have him on the podcast within the next couple of episodes. He'd like to come and chat to us. And we can also talk about what Rob's doing, but we can also talk about what the search and rescue people do as well and how you can help them. So all stuff for future episodes, which hopefully, if you subscribe or follow us, we'd love to get a review as well. That'd be really good. But if you subscribe or follow us, those episodes will drop into your inbox on your preferred podcast platform straight away. And that's about it, I think, for this particular episode. We will be back in around about a month's time. As I said, we're going to talk about the 100-mile not races.
They're called ultras, aren't they? It's an ultra marathon, but...
So that's what we're going to be talking about a bit more in the next episode, plus other things that will be in the news and what's going on in the world of health and fitness, which Rob obviously is completely immersed in. That's it from us. Thanks very much, Rob, for another great episode. And we will see you next month.
Thank you, Mark.
This is a 1386 audio production.